Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome back to another week, another episode here on Profound Truth. This is your brother Ernie and brother Ignacio here today.
Hi.
Welcome back. Sorry, we apologize for, you know, getting a little late on the schedule as we usually do it. Ignacio was fixing his fence that dang hurricane that came through a couple weeks ago. Messed up his fence, so he finally has some time to get it. So he was out there working hard in the sun. So we got to the that episode a little late, but we're still here. Thanks to the Lord we're here, and we have an exciting topic today. Today we're going to talk about the origin of the Bible, where it came from, and how we got the Bible that we have here today.
Wow, that sounds interesting and very good, brother.
Yes, definitely. Definitely thankful that we have a Bible today. But as always, before we get started, we always want to open up this podcast in prayer and just invite God into this as we want to invite him in all things that we do. So let's pray before we get started. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, again for another day, another episode, another chance to just talk about you, Lord, to just spread some good news about you, Lord. And today, as we open up this topic about the origin of the Bible, Lord, we just want to thank you for your Bible, for your word. We're so thankful that we could have your word, Lord, for your word guides us. It helps us. It instructs us. It helps us to know how we should live and the things that you would want us to do as Christians, Lord. And we're just thankful. And it tells us, it's just a big story of the love and that you have for this world, the love you have for all of us to save us, to be our savior, and to bring us out of darkness, Lord, and into your light, Lord. And we're thankful for your word, and we're just thankful for everything that you're doing for us, Lord. And we just ask that you bless this podcast, be with us in this podcast, be with everyone that's watching or that's listening and that is going to listen to this a later time, Lord. We pray that this can bless them in a way, Lord, and be impactful in their lives, Lord. And we thank you for all that you're doing and all the things you continue to do, Lord. And we give you all the praise and the glory and honor for it. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen, brother. Thank you.
Yes. What's going on, Ignacio?
Wow, brother. This is a very, very powerful topic because, you know, most of the time we know about the Bible, but we don't know really everything about the Bible, or at least some information, you know, because it's not that we're going to talk about everything, but,
yeah,
you know, we're going to try to see how we can really get to this particular part. But I want you to start, brother, talking some information about the Bible that you already have, and just for the people to know, let me share again the screen that we have, you know, of the topic.
Yes, the Bible and its origins. So some facts that we have here. So the Bible is 66 books that were written over 1,500 years ago by more than 40 authors, a present and cohesive picture of God's epic rescue plan for humanity. It was the last book of the first part, known as the Old Testament, was finished about 330 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, the founder of Christianity. The second part of the Bible, the New Testament, focuses on Jesus' life and the early Christian church. It was finished around 90 AD. The structure of the Bible that we have today was finished around 400 AD, although it has more than 1,000 years before it was available to ordinary men and women in English. For centuries, the only Bibles were handwritten in Latin, but the invention of the printing in the 15th century and the drive to translate the Bible into other languages changed everything. Pioneers were determined that the book, which is the foundation of Christian faith, should be available to everyone.
Wow, this is very, very good info, brother. And I would say that really the Bible have a lot. But did you know that the word Bible is not in the Bible?
Yeah, that's true.
That is interesting, yeah. Brother. How the whole Bible is not in the Bible?
I don't know. That's crazy. It's not. It's known. It's more usually just referred to as the Word of God.
Amen. Amen. And did you also know that the Bible on those day of, you know, even the apostle and beyond, the system that they have at the Bible, it was handwriting. And then they have it into a scroll, you know. Mm-hmm. And in order for you to find out which one is Isaiah, you had to unroll it.
Yeah.
And then, but of course, something beautiful that I know about this season or this time is that they told the Bible in a way like, you know, that we go to school and we learned history, we learned math, we learned language. Mm-hmm. For them, that was not the case. What they're going to be learning since they were a little child is the
Bible.
The Bible.
Yeah.
That's why you can see that in Jesus' time, all the Pharisees and the people came quote the Bible.
Yeah.
And you will say, wow, they know the Bible.
Yeah.
Everybody know the Bible. That's what they, you know, teach them.
It was like their textbook, their history book.
Yeah, it's that. Like, you cannot become an adult without going to school to learn the Bible.
Yeah.
How beautiful. Can you imagine if that would have happened here in the U.S.?
Sure. It'd be a big change.
Oh, my God.
It would be a powerful thing
for what we have today.
People all around.
Because, don't get me wrong, you know, even in during those times, there was doctors. There was historians, you know, there was this type of
there were secular history books and secular careers and stuff like
that. Exactly. But beautiful to learn the scripture, you know.
Yeah.
That's something that I say, wow, Lord, what would it be so different in today's world if that would be the mission for any country, you know, not only here. But we have a lot information about the Bible. I mean, and one of the, I don't know if you were able to look for this, but the World Bible take its name from the Latin Biblia. That's what it is, mean from the Latin Biblia. And that means book or books, you see? Mm-hmm. Just the name of the Bible means several books, in plurals or in singular. And which came from the Greek, you know, the name book or books came from the Greek, and they call ta Biblia. And then it means the books. Now, that particular one, it's been traced to the Phoenician port city of the Gibel, known as the Biblos. And I remember even in Spanish, that word was coming from, brother, Biblos. Like, and then it was then taken to the Greeks, and writing became associated with the Biblos or Biblos in the Greek. And the expert, it said it also refers to the used in writing, and the Greek name for, I don't know if you, papyrus. Yeah, papyrus was Biblos. You see how this different type of name came just to be the Bible. And it says something very good. Like, although the Bible is often considered a single cohesive work, it is actually an anthology, you know, of ancient writing and many different authors over the many centuries, which were collecting in a single book, the Bible, contained works of poetry, religion, themes,
narrative, philosophical, musing, and such as the book of
Ecclesiastes.
And then the epistles from the apocalyptic, and also the book of Revelation. Yeah. You see, all the information just to that name, brother. Mm-hmm. And you're going to tell me that there is no something powerful in this? I would tell you, brother. I would argue that there is a lot of information about the Bible that we might think that, wow, what is it? And then, do you have some information about the history of the Bible? Some reference?
Let's see. Some history of the Old Testament. It says in the Old Testament, the first five books of the Old Testament are the foundation of the Jewish faith and central to Christianity. It's thought that the main author of the first five books was Moses, a significant leader of Jewish people who brought them out of slavery in Egypt. He wrote down the laws given to the Jewish people by God, including the Ten Commandments. A later book of the Old Testament, Joshua, refers to the book of the law of Moses. Other writings gathered together in oral stories passed down for centuries, which make up the first few chapters of the Bible. Some of the books of the Old Testament took many years to come together because they documented events over centuries. The Old Testament not only includes historical accounts, but as you were saying, poetry, songs, wise sayings, and writings of prophets. The authors wrote in ink, specifically prepared animals, specially prepared animal skins, which were rolled up into scrolls. Because these deteriorated over time, writers or scribes made exact copies and destroyed the old ones.
And this is amazing, and I want to share some information that will kind of align with that information that you provided, because they say that the Bible contains 66 books, brother.
Yeah.
And they were written in most of the time by 40 authors. So you see, 40 different people were adding part of that Bible, you know. And then almost it was in a period of 1,500 years. It is divided into two major sections, right? The Old Testament and the New Testament. And together, they are on the 66 books. You know, if I'm not mistaken, there are 27 in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. And then the rest would be from the Old Testament. Now, this is interesting because Jesus and the apostle, they never use the New Testament.
No. They always refer to the Old
Testament. They always quote it from the Old Testament. Even Jesus divided and made this is the amazing part, you know, that Jesus made this book the official. He said he even categorized it in three different groups, right? The prophets, mm-hmm. the Psalms, and Moses and the law. And did you know that also in today modern time, the Jews they don't accept or they don't really recognize the New Testament as a part of the words of God?
Yeah, because most Jews haven't accepted Jesus. So, you know, of course the New Testament focuses on the ministry of Jesus and Jesus coming to the world and then the apostles and the ones that followed Jesus and the ones that came after Jesus. So most Jews still live by the Old Testament because, of course, most of them believe that Jesus wasn't the Messiah and the Messiah hasn't came yet. Except for there are some Jews which are Messianic Jews, which are Jews that believe in Jesus, that believe in the Messiah.
Now, this is the interesting part, brother, that there are a lot of people that they say that the Bible contradicts each other. And they trying to highlight the mistake, you know, like for instance, and they usually go to the book, the Gospels, you know.
Yeah.
And then they also trying to say, like, this, who wrote the Bible? And that's what they come in, you know, who wrote the Bible? Oh, that was man. But, you know, they're trying to kind of like dismiss the Bible and then
put all the ways to make it contradict.
Put all the books like the Quran, you know, like above, because it was directly an angel who wrote the Quran. But this is beautiful because here we have a book that was written by 40 different people. And there are no any book in history, humankind, that has been written in 40 with 40 different people. And it still remain the accuracy on the theme and the message.
Yeah, they all.
It have to be divine, brother.
Yeah, because they're all saying the same thing. It's the same message. It's the same thing,
brother. Isaiah, just an example. Isaiah wrote about Jesus 700 before Jesus arrived. Mm-hmm. By the time Jesus arrived, Isaiah was just history.
Yeah.
And Jesus fulfilled step by step everything that he said.
Yeah.
Wow. And then we also have more information. Do you have?
Well, I was just kind of talking about what you were saying, how people try to say, like, is the Bible, like, can be trusted, or they try to say it contradicts itself because they might read, like, for example, they were saying, like, someone might read the book of James and they might have thought that it didn't agree with Paul, because a lot of times, because in James, I believe it's in James where he talks about, you know, like, faith without works is dead. But then Paul says, oh, you're saved by grace through faith. So they take something like that and they just read through it like a regular history book. So they try to say it contradicts itself. But they have to understand the history of who they were talking to in that time and what he means, instead of just taking it and reading it like a book. And they're not really breaking it down to see what he's saying. Like, yes, you're like Paul saying, yes, you're saved by grace through faith. And James is saying faith without works is dead. But he's also saying that I'll show you my faith through my works, meaning I'm not doing the work to earn. I'm not earning it. But in the way I act and the things that I'm doing, you'll see my faith in what I'm doing every day. In the works that I'm doing, you'll see my faith through those things. Not because I have to, but once I've accepted Christ and I'm living for Christ, then my actions are going to reflect those things of Christ, because I've already been saved by the faith, the grace. But we're not to get that. We're not to become believers and then just do the same thing we were doing before we believed. Yeah. But that's why he's saying faith without works is dead, because you're seeing my faith in my actions that I'm taking, not because I'm doing it to earn my salvation. That's already been given to me. So people take those and they try to say, oh, well, they're contradicting each other. They're saying something different. But no, if you really take it to look at it, they're saying the same thing. But they were talking to a separate, both of them were in different areas, different regions, talking to a separate group of people at that time.
That is true. And I really, really think that if we don't see that part of the differentiation, you know, between which one is what, like, we don't have a blind faith. Like, we don't tell you, hey, believe in Jesus just because we tell you.
Yeah.
No. You have to do your homework by yourself. Read the gospel. The gospel. Matthew, Luke, John, Matthew, Luke, John, and what is the other one?
Mark.
Mark. Oh. What I'm gonna forget, Mark.
Yeah.
So
Matthew, Mark, Luke,
and John. You read that, but they might say, like you say, oh, but you see, in Matthew, you see he said this about Mary, like Francis. Mary stay in the Persever, right? And then Luke might say, she went to this location, she couldn't find any lodging, and she stay in an area where the animals was, you know. Yeah. And then you might have some other gospel say, I didn't a different detail. And for me, this is a beautiful way, because if all the four Gospels say the exact things, then you would question it.
Yeah.
Because if you and I, brother, and I'm going to give you this example that I think is beautiful, the way Pastor Click presented. If you and I are coming on, you coming from that side, and I coming from this side on the street, and I witnessed an accident.
Yeah.
And then, because I'm looking that way, I'm going to say, oh, officer, what I saw is when this car crossed over there, I heard a lady screaming, and then, boom, it has an accident. And then you might say, I just heard the car, boom, that hit something, but it got an accident. That's beautiful, because yeah. The detail that you are adding on my detail, we combine the entire investigation, right?
Yeah.
And this is the same for the apostle. Each one of them, they are given the unique way of how they experience this. And remember, there are, you have to understand that there, nobody can prove to you in today's time that Jesus was here. Like, I cannot prove that. Now, I can use the gospel as a history document that I can see that there was eyewitness on that particular history. And that's how we know everything, right?
Yeah.
How do you know anything about George Washington? None of you were here.
Yeah.
We go back and read the history, right? Yeah. So this is how we know. Now, I'm going to tell you, the Bible say that God revealed himself and he became a man and died for you and for me. Now, I look at the description how Jesus lived the life as a God.
Yeah.
He was with love. Nobody, even in the most difficult time, nobody, he asked, who of you can say that I'm guilty of anything? Nobody couldn't say. Then he, even though they abused him and mistreated, he never cursed back to them. He never stopped loving them. So right there, I love the way he was acting. And then what got me even bigger in everything, brother, was that he in advance said to his apostle that he's going to die, but that he will rise from the dead. He is going to wake up by himself. Now, brother, that's when I see, wait a minute. There are many individuals say or proclaim that they are God or Jesus, whatever, but none of them has been able to say in advance, that was a prophecy, I'm going to die. I'm going to be killed by you. And then 3 days later, I'm going to rise.
Yeah.
And live eternally. And this is not just my opinion, because remember the scripture recall more than 500
witnesses. Yeah.
About him showing himself on his resurrection.
Yeah.
And there was no doubt that he was an individual that lived in Galilee, because now we have a beautiful archaeology to prove that it's not like a weird star. Oh, that was upon a time when something came. No,
yeah.
We can now go, okay, in this, according with the archaeology historical
the Bible
discovery,
backs up all the discoveries they've made. Yeah, because you can still see, I mean, you can go look at a lot of these locations in the Bible, and there's a lot of stuff that's still there to this day that you can go see, or the exact locations that it names. A lot of those things are still there to this day, or like you're saying, there's been archaeologists that have dug up stuff that backs up everything the Bible's saying about where certain locations of things are. And it's a book that it's backed up. Science even backs it up. Archaeologists. It's also the only book, as you know, we call it, it's a living word. Like, it's something that it was applicable to those people's life in the time that it was written. And it's something that we can even apply to our lives in the today situation. And it does take sometimes knowing the history of what was going on to understand a little deeper, a little better what was going on. But it's the only book that you could see that people were able to apply to their lives back then, and you could still apply to your life today. And not just that, is you could, if you really study the Bible and read the Bible, and you're not just reading it like a textbook, you're actually studying it and praying over it and praying to God to reveal things. And you could read something 100 times, and every time you read it, you can get something different out of it, or it's something that just truly just is alive and just speaks to your life or to your situation that's going on right now. Or it's something that you truly, when you can truly see that when you apply parts of the Bible, different teachings to your life, you can actually see that it works. It applies to your life. And when you apply the Word of God to your life, it comes alive from what you read. That comes alive in your life right now in the present.
Yes. And I love the fact that not only that, we have more than 5,000 manuscripts from the Greek that can't tell, that are original from, I'm talking about like almost 100 between the first century of the apostle. And all those 5,000, brother, that's a lot of information.
Yeah.
I could say the same thing, brother. You might have a differentiation between with a comma, without the comma, but it doesn't change the fact that if it say Jesus came to Jerusalem, if it has a comma or not, it doesn't change the fact that Jesus came to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about the scripture also. And, you know, those book combined, 66 book, says something very well. Together, this session make up one large story that centers of humanity problems. What is that? Sin. And then God's solution to send his son to rescue humanity from this problem. And if you can see description from the beginning, even in Genesis, when the first man sinned against God, what was it? Right there, the solution God provided.
Yeah.
Because he really said that this man would have the consequence, but he provide that descendant that would be Jesus, who would have stepped on the snake, the old snake, right?
Yeah.
Which is Satan. And then that seed will be bring back together to God as the original plan.
Yeah.
Wow, brother. I love this, because even when people want to dismiss the Bible, we can see. And please, when you're going to study the Bible, do it with any prejudgment.
Yeah.
Open mind. And if you think there is power, there is immense and important documentation, you know, that you can say, wow, wait a minute. Because before everything, and let me tell you something that a lot of people do, and they might in the Quran, they might say something about the Quran and the Muhammad. What is
Muhammad?
Muhammad was a Islam, whatever, you know. But we know first, even in the Quran, they talk about the Bible.
Yeah.
Plus, how you are going to believe a person that was living
500
years after the apostle and Jesus.
Yeah.
So how are you going to believe something like that rather than the eyewitnesses or those that ask question to the eyewitnesses? That's beautiful, because I think Mark and Luke, they were not direct apostles, you know, but they asking the question. For instance, we have a beautiful details on the book of Mark and Luke, in the book of Luke specifically, about the birth of Jesus, because he directly asked to Mary.
Yeah.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's accurate, because if the Bible, and then if the Bible was written in those time, right? How come now today we have what we call the Bible? And now we have a lot of information. Like, for instance, the birth and chapter, that was not in the Bible. That was a modern system to understand where is the book located at. Mm-hmm. Because imagine if I had this book like that without number and book name.
Yeah.
How do you think I'm going to be able to tell you I'm reading on this? How do you think you're going to be able to look?
You wouldn't be able to go find it that easy.
Exactly. So this system was to really make it easy for you and for me. And then the Bible went through a process called canon. The canon was kind of like the rules that guide this accuracies on the book. Because did you know that, if I'm not mistaken, there were 7 books that were taken out from the Bible. It was added and then taken out. And this is the beauty about that, brother. When the apostle were dying, right? Then these people decide to collect all the book description to prevent somebody to come. Oh, I'm an apostle and I'm going to write something.
Yeah.
And that makes sense to me. That was power of God, brother.
Yeah.
Because other than that, how did you know that the book is one of the book that has been attacked for many centuries?
Yeah. There was even a point in time where there was a king that tried to destroy it. I remember Pastor Kevin told the story that there was a king that actually tried to completely destroy the Bible and make it to where it was just done. It was gone, but he was not able to get rid of it.
Mm. Okay, brother, now I want to ask this question. Why do you think if the New Testament was definitely amazing, because I'm going to tell you, a lot of people say, oh, Jesus was a prophet or a very unique individual that was living here. But that's it, you know, they never, especially Jews, they never recognized him as the Messiah. And I was watching an interview of a guy who asked Jewish people to read some description, and they think all they jump is, oh, that's the New Testament. They're trying to perpetrate that from Jesus.
Yeah.
And then he said, no, that's the Old Testament. What? And then they say, wow, how they don't put everything together?
Yeah.
Because I understand, brother, they don't really read the Bible today.
Yeah.
Like they're supposed to be. Because only those what they call Messianic Jews are the ones that really are accepting Jesus, you know.
Yeah, well, I think that has to do with a lot of them being raised in that religion and being so strict, and them telling them that. Not just that, but just even having a hardened heart. Because you have to think, brother, you have to think, even the Jews back then that knew the scriptures, even they were blind to see that he was right there in front of their face, and they knew the scriptures. Yeah.
But let me tell you, they knew he was the Messiah.
They didn't want to accept it.
Because of interest. Hey, if I accept this, my religion, my money, my income, wouldn't say. Because remember, we have the scripture with Nicodemus.
Yeah, with Nicodemus.
Nicodemus went over there. What did he say? At night, he met with Jesus.
Yeah.
Master, we know that you came from God.
Yeah.
Because nobody can do what you do if it's not from God.
Yeah.
They knew, but it's interesting, brother. It's business.
Yeah.
Well, they were protecting. Hey, if we are, if we agree with the people that he is God, then they're gonna get a on top of us. You know, they're gonna be against us. Yeah. Because that was ridiculous for me to think like that. If you knew this is Jesus, hey, come on, tell us, help us to learn and to be even more connecting with you. But the problem is, they look for business more than the Lord. Because don't even tell me that even after Jesus died, they didn't even thought for a little bit, oh, yes, he was the Son of God. Because it was a miracle. And these people were so into this to protect that body that they even pay the centurions. Hey, yeah. Nobody knows. They put the seal from the Roman governor to prevent anybody to spread rumor. And you know what? Nobody can hold. Not even the dead can hold my Lord Jesus.
And you know what? And then you know what's crazy about it? And that's in the Bible that it says that they paid them to say that the disciples must have stole them or something. And the Bible even says, and this story is still being told today. It says that in the Bible.
Yeah, but the amazing part is that they couldn't find a body to say.
I just thought it was interesting how the Bible says that. The lie that was told then, it says, and this is still being told today, and it's true because there's still people today that this lie is still going around to this day.
I agree. A lot of people, they really think that they are no, like we talk about Jesus, like some kind of, how do you call it? Like story or...
A fairy tale,
yeah. But... did you notice that all the time when the times when we don't see like the power, you see, like if you go back to history in Israel, always there was somebody there that got raised up, you know, to bring his people together. Or to judge his people, like a prophet. First was Abraham, right? The one that we know he was not Jewish, but from him, that's when Israel, the nation, became, you know. And then we see Moses, right, with a specific instruction from the Lord. And I think I was looking that information that how they call the first book of the Bible. I think it's
the first book or the first five books?
The first five, yeah.
The Torah?
The Torah, and then
the next one, I had it on.
The prophet?
Yeah, they break it into different...
The poetic? I think I was reading those, yeah. Let me see. Canon.
It's the Torah.
The Torah.
And then it's the, I don't know how to say it, but it's, there's a word, the Nevi'im, but it's prophets.
Okay.
And then it's the writings. And let's see, hold on, I had it.
Okay.
But they break it into different sections.
Yes. So let us speak the way that I know it. That way you might know it too. Okay. The Torah, right? The first five books. Those are the books that Moses wrote. And then they have the writing of the poetic. Those are books that we can see sometime as a Solomon Proverbs, you know, those books that he wrote. And also we can even add Ecclesiastes. And also... some of those books, right? Mm-hmm. And then they divide the prophetic books between
the major and the minor.
And the minors. Now, what does that mean? It's not that just because they call minor prophets,
they are
less important than the other one.
It's just that the contents, the amount of writing of words that they heard was small. Yeah. But they were so powerful than other, you know.
Yeah.
And then the major, which is more volume of the book that or the words that they were writing, right? Which is Daniel, Ezekiel, and I think Jeremiah, Isaiah. And there is another one. And we see those, right? And then after that, we had the New. Now, in the New Testament, we had the gospel, right? Which it is clear, right? It's basically the eyewitness of Jesus, the apostle and everything. But the book of Acts, that's interesting book for me because it's kind of like a continuation of the gospel, if you look.
Yeah.
And also, Luke was the one who wrote that book. Mm-hmm. And it recalled a lot of trauma from Paul,
you
know. And then we had the 13 letter from Apostle Paul. And those 13 letters, you know, are unique. And this Paul was the guy who got used to preach to the Gentile, basically.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, brother, he preached to the Gentile, but first he preached, guess what?
Jews.
To the Jews.
Yeah.
And Peter did the same. Mm-hmm. He was called to preach for the Gentile, I mean from the Jews. And who was one of the first that he preached?
Peter? To the Jews? No.
To the Gentile.
The Gentile.
Cornelio. You remember Cornelio?
Mm, yeah.
When he received the Holy Spirit and it was speaking in tongues. And they said, wow, that is interesting that Jesus called Peter to preach to the Jews. And then the first person he preaches to the Gentile. But Paul was called to preach to the Gentile. And the first people that he preached was to the Jews. And what is what the Bible say? And we're going to preach this gospel. How do you describe that? The method that Jesus said, how we're going to preach this gospel?
He said first to Jerusalem, then
Judea, and then to the rest.
Yeah, to the ends of the earth.
But you see how Jesus planned to do it.
To the Jews, to the Gentiles, and the whole world.
Wow, God is everything on description. Brother and sister, friend, is sync accurately. Yeah. And if I want to have a contradiction with you just to argument about the Bible, if I don't open my mind to understand what you might tell me, right? Mm-hmm. Then I'm just going to keep being ignorant.
Yeah.
But if I want to say, hey, because let me tell you, a lot of people, they don't trust the Bible, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people, they don't believe. But just ask the question, what if this is true?
Yeah. Well, I look at it like this. You got to think about it kind of like, okay, if you go reading the Bible looking for something, you go without that open heart or open mind and you go looking for a reason to contradict it or you go looking for that reason, you're already starting off wrong. It's like, with God, God wants a relationship with you and he wants you to want that relationship. He's not going to force the relationship on you. So it's the same thing with the Bible. It's the word of God. So if you want to know about God and you want to read the scripture, then when God sees your heart is open to want to know those things, then he's going to open your eyes to see what you need to see. But if you go into it already looking for a reason to go against God, then God's going to just let you go in there with your eyes closed, with your eyes blinded to see what he's trying to see. And you're already going in with the bad posture of your heart, a bad attitude. And it's the same way with God. If you go to God in that type of way, then God's not going to open, you know, a relationship doesn't work like that. You don't go into a relationship already thinking the worst or negatively going into a relationship. You go into it openly, you're welcoming it, God, into your life. It's the same way with the word of God. You're going in to read it because you want to know more about God, and you're opening your heart and you're opening your eyes and your mind to things of God. And when you go in with that open heart, he reveals it to you. But if you go in with a hardened heart or a closed heart, then, I mean, none of it's going to make sense. And you're going to say, ah, whatever. See, I told you this is just a book. It's none of this is true. And that's when the devil slips in and he deceives you and he allows you. And God, being a God that gives us that free will, when he sees that, I mean, he's going to let it be. But once you truly go into it with an open heart and you want to really study it and get to know it, then God, boom, he opens it to you and you see it. And it, I mean, there's times where, like I said, it's a living word. There's things I read and I'm like, wow, I've read this scripture 100 times or 50 times or whatever. And then today, though, it's just like, boom, it just blows my mind because I'm like, wow. And when you think of everything about it, it's just a beautiful thing. And I was going to tell you earlier, if you think back to Isaiah, did you know Isaiah is 66? They call it like the Old Testament, like a mini version of the Bible. Because Isaiah is 66 chapters. And the way Isaiah is broke down, I forgot how to explain it, but it explains sin, the consequences of sin, and it explains the prophecies of Jesus, kind of just like the whole Bible is. It explains sin, the law of God, and then him saving us. Everything that the whole Bible and the whole explains is also explained in the book of Isaiah, and it's similar to the Bible, just like there's 66 books in the Bible. There's 66 chapters in Isaiah.
Now, you just described something very powerful, because Isaiah, it basically the key book that really describes the entire crucifixion from the Lord. And also, I would say that if we see the storyline of the New Testament, right, we can see where the Old Testament prepare us for the, I would say, arrival of God's Son, right?
Jesus,
which is Jesus. Then the New Testament is his arrival and his crucifixion, and then his resurrection. Because the most, I don't know for you, brother, what it is the most powerful, but for me, the most powerful that keep my faith, not as a blind faith, but as a reality, is that Jesus died. He proclaimed, he declared that he's going to die. And also, 3 days later, he came up alive. But not only that, 700 years before that, there was a guy called Isaiah, cousin of the king in that time. And he prophesied of this Messiah that would come to rescue humanity from sin. And he described it in all the name that he utilized, that he will be called. Jesus was called. I'm talking about that if he said that he will be God with us.
Emmanuel, God with us,
He was called like that. Brother, he described, and if you see, not only Isaiah, it was many prophets that describe from where he will come from, the lineage, where he will come from, the descendant of David, from the house of David. And if you see, God is so beautiful, because we know that Jesus was not a biological child from Joseph, we know that. But even like that, from Mary's side and Joseph's side, he came from back. David. But we know that Jesus, just like he said, my Father is in heaven. Now, it is complicated, because a lot of people say, brother, and help me understand a little bit, just to my audience too, my brother and sister there. A lot of people say that Jesus, in many ways, he called himself God, but then also the Son of God. And also, he would say the things that I, he would say something like, the things that I do, I don't do it on my own, but my Father. And people would question this, but wait a minute. He said that he's God, but then he do the sons that is from his father only.
Well, he makes it clear. He says the father is in him and he's in the father. And they're one. He clearly states that they're one together. Even though what he's saying, he also makes it clear that him and the father are one.
But then why to say the thing that I do is the things that only my father does. I don't do the thing on my own, but what I do. Then that's a differentiation.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
I mean, what I'm thinking is, I mean, Jesus gave us the perfect example. We're the father. We're to follow our father in heaven. So he's leading the perfect example of him following the father. And that's what we're to do is that Jesus is our example. So everything he did, kind of like when you think about how he went to go pray and he goes and prays to the father, but it's him leading that example because Jesus came to show us in person how we should be doing things, how to pray, how to connect to the father, because we needed to, sometimes I think we need to see it. So he was giving them all the examples of exactly how to truly connect. And so what better way to see it than a son being obedient to his father as we as sons and daughters are obedient to our father.
But then I see God like before in the Old Testament, a God that can kill anybody. And now in the New Testament, a God that have so much love for this humanity. Or the same God or kind of different God?
It's the same God, as Jesus said. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, because he was still showing love back then. People say, oh, you know, God was doing all these things, but the Bible makes it clear he's a righteous judge, because the people were living, I mean, horribly, a wicked, wicked, wicked life that was just so far away from God. But the whole time, he still had the plan. He had the plan, like you said earlier, from the beginning of Adam and Eve, he had a plan to redeem everyone, and he made the plan for everyone. It's available for everyone. But at that time, they were just so far away from God. And after he even all the way go back to Egypt, he rescued them out of Egypt. And even after he rescued them, they were quick to turn away from him. And that's what they kept doing. They would turn to God, then they turn away, and they turn to God. But it just got to a point where it was so bad that being a righteous judge, he can't just let it go unpunished and let them just do whatever they want. Then that would make him not God. He wouldn't be a righteous judge. Yeah. If he just let wickedness just run crazy all over the place. So it wasn't destruction. It's just like now when something happens to us and we try to blame God. No, we cause that on ourselves. When we make a bad decision and we do something, then we're causing it. If I go commit a crime and I go to court and the judge says, you've been sentenced to this, I mean, I did do the crime. So, I mean, it is a judgment on his behalf to make that. If I did the crime, then I gotta face the consequences of that crime. And that's a judge, of a worldly judge, a person. Now, God being the almighty God, a righteous judge, it's the same with him. If we're breaking his laws and we're going so far against him, amen, there had to be some type of punishment. But even through that punishment, he still gave us a solution, and that's Jesus. Yeah. And we can, and that's what he's been saying the whole time, even from the beginning. If we could just repent, like with David, as bad as he did, but he had a heart for God because he repented and humbled himself. Because see, a lot of those people at that time when God was doing that, they didn't humble themselves. They weren't repenting. They just kept doing it, and they were prideful, and they didn't see themselves as doing anything wrong. And they were, in a way, they were mocking God. They were making images and saying, this is God. And they're praying, and God's clear. You're worshiping objects. I'm a living God. And so he had to show them who the one true God is.
I agree. And just for our brother and sister, before Jesus, everybody knew God as a distant God. He only revealed himself as a prophet, with prophets or somebody else, right? Mm-hmm. Now, Jesus come,
being himself God, he's revealing something new. Because now we don't remember him, even he said, nobody know anything from heaven but the Son who descend. Mm-hmm. And if any humankind can reveal or say anything from heaven, because they never been there.
Yeah.
So we definitely want somebody from there to reveal that part. Now, in order for me to know you, brother, you had to reveal yourself to me. Just because I heard from you or I'm looking at, even looking at you, it doesn't mean I'm going to know you unless you open yourself and start telling me about you. Now, that's what Jesus did. He revealed himself of God. How God process, how, what is the God process? How he want things to be established. Because remember, the process that even the apostle, they make a lot of mistakes because they thought that God can do it just the way that Elijah did it. Oh, if they are messing around with you, fire consume them.
Yeah.
But that's not what God wanted. But remember, like you said, because he's a righteous God and a just God, he cannot leave sin unpunished.
Yeah.
That's why you have to understand, sin cannot be unpunished, because then that would be a problem for me or for you. Because if somebody did something against you, you expect the authority, like you say, to give it a consequence to that person. It's not, yes, you repented, but consequence. Now, this is the difference for us, that he provide somebody to pay the price. And now, if you accept that person, which is Jesus, then you can be excused from the penalty.
Yeah.
Just like that. You can be excused from the penalty. Not that you will reject that person that paid the price and then, oh, I can be excused. No.
I mean, and then when you look at it, as I said, like, since we're talking about the Bible, and when I say it's living word, so when God says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and everyone, like we're saying, says, okay, but back then he did all this, bringing judgment on people, but he's the same because through all those times, he always redeemed his people every single time. If you go look at every time something big and crazy happened, he always redeemed them. He always gave them another chance. He never just... Because if he didn't give them a chance, then we wouldn't be here today reading about all things we're reading. Because he gave them a chance. Even though when he tear them down and allow another nation or another country or kingdom to take over them, he would always allow them to be redeemed and come back. But they would do the same thing every time. But as Ignacio was saying, even back then they had, they had sacrifices and they were for their sins. But it was just a foreshadow of what Jesus did now. Because he's the ultimate sacrifice. Yeah. And they were doing the same thing as the Bible says in the Old Testament, I think in Leviticus, that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. And so the same thing he said in the Old Testament is the same thing he says in the New Testament. It's just now he gave us the perfect, the ultimate sacrifice, so that we don't have to keep sacrificing animals as they did in the Old Testament. But it's the same God with the same message. It's turn away from, repent, turn away from your sins and turn to God and tear down all your false gods or false idols or false things that you worship. Repent, it's the same message. And every time it's all about his love and his redemption for his people. But in the same time, it's a righteous judgment, because the same way when this world does come to end, God's going to judge the world, and the people that are living in sin or that are haven't repented, that are so far away from God, it'll be same way as it was in the Old Testament, that they'll face that judgment and that wrath from God the same way that we see in the Old Testament. So it's the same God, same story the whole time. It's just, you have to, as I said, when you're reading the Bible, you can't just rush through it and read it like a book. You have to see how everything's connected. It's the only book where it has so many cross references, so many connections, and everything is saying the same thing. It all connects.
Amen. Amen. And you know, I wanna say something about the about Israel, and I will tell you that. And just to give it an example of what you were saying about throughout the history, for instance, Isaiah prophesied for approximately 60 years, and the last portion of Isaiah was, judgment will come to Israel because of the idolatry. And they were so deep in idolatry that they forget about God.
Yeah.
They ignore everything. So then, listen, with Isaac, he was preaching about judgment and everything for 60 years. And then Isaiah died. Nothing happened. And rather than for them to go, turn back to God, they even went beyond, brother. And then God raised up Jeremiah. And after 20 years of preaching, judgment will come if you don't repent. They even beat him, mistreated him, even kill him.
Yeah.
And they didn't repent. And that's when they were taken from the Babylon. Captive from the Babylonian. Now, let me tell you, just for you to know that even nation has been used, because it's not new that many nations hate and trying to exterminate Israel. It's been from centuries,
forever.
But let me tell you, let me read this, brother. And I love this because this is a civilization, nations, or empires. A movement that have tried to destroy Israel throughout Israel history. First, you're gonna say one, and I'm gonna say one. You say the first one.
The ancient Egyptian Empire.
They won zero. And Israel
won.
The Philistines, they won zero, and Israel won.
The Syrian Empire, zero, 1-0, and Israel won.
The Babylonian Empire, zero, but Israel won.
The Persian Empire, zero, and Israel won.
The Greek Empire, zero, and Israel won.
The Roman Empire, zero, and Israel won.
I think this
Byzantine. Byzantine.
Oh, Byzantine Empire, zero, and Israel won.
The Ottoman Empire, zero, Israel, one.
And even the Spanish, you know?
Wow.
The Spanish Empire, zero, and Israel, one.
The Nazi, third. Wow. The Nazi, zero, and Israel, one.
The Soviet Empire, that is crazy, bro. Uh-huh. Zero, but Israel, one.
And then the Iranian regime, zero. Israel,
that's
I guess about it's going on right now. Yeah.
And the beautiful about the last part of Jesus, the Ezekiel prophesy about that there will be a coalition against Israel that are going to try to attack from the north. A combination of Russia, Libya, Turkey, I believe, Persia, which is Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And those nations will be in a coalition to attack Israel. And that's when the Lord will come directly to defend.
Yeah. Amen.
So, by there, right there, I can tell you now, Iran, zero. Israel, one.
Yeah.
Just because who is the person who is going to defend Israel will be directly the Lord himself. That's the only way they're going to be able to survive. But of course, they're going to cause a lot of calamity, you know. And just like they've been doing it, right?
Yeah.
We knew on October 7, they killed 1,300 people.
and beyond, you know. And it's still, they keep killing. And it is interesting that always, back in history, the Bible recalled that even in those times when the Lord delivered Israel from many different, I remember with the Philistine, in one occasion, the Lord delivered Israel with lightning. Did you recall that part?
Lightning?
Lightning directly attack the Philistine with lightning. God will protect Israel, his people. So, yes, we wish that everybody going through peace, you know, from love, no fighting, but unfortunately, this have just proved that mankind cannot government, and the Lord have to do it himself for that 1,000 years that we expecting him to do that. All right, we're getting to the end. How you been doing? And I know the Bible has more information because I'm going to tell you. The Bible, I would say that the Bible, one-third of the Bible is prophecy. And if there were 300 prophecy plus about the first coming of Jesus, there is even three times that amount about the second coming. Brother, he will come he fulfilled all step by step, all of them.
Yeah, it's like I said, we're talking about the Bible. It's the only book you see something like that happening in. There's the prophecies, the history, the exact locations, and just everything about it. It's the only book that's been not just being attacked now, but it's been attacked forever, that everyone's so focused on destroying or taking stuff away from it and trying to change up what it says. It's the only book that receives that kind of conflict, that kind of attack on it. And it's not just some regular ordinary book. It truly is the living word of God. And if you want to learn more about God, get in the Bible and not just read it, but study it. Ask God to open your eyes and open your ears to see and hear everything that he says in the Bible. And
amen.
Just look at how beautiful it is. It's truly a story of love, of how much God loves this world and how he redeems us. But as we said, he's a righteous judge who does inflict judgment, you know, because he can't just let it go rampant. He can't let sin just go rampant. But at the same time, he always redeems his people. And it's a true love story on how he loves us and wants us to just be connecting with him and us to experience the life he has for us.
Amen, amen. We just wanted to invite you to the church. You know, we know that if you are in this area, Houston area, close to Galveston County.
Yeah, in Galveston County, Houston area. We want to invite you to our church. It's the Fellowship Texas City, and the address is 2222. North Highway 146, Texas City, Texas. And we have three services. We have an 8:15, a 10 o'clock, and 11:45. So come out. We'd love to see you there. And we have if you have a family member or a friend that's more Spanish speaking, they can receive a headset in the front and they can hear the message being translated into Spanish. And it's a beautiful thing. And so come out with us.
Yeah. I love it because now there is no excuse, right?
Yeah, that, and it's that we're able to be together and not, you know, a lot of churches have a Spanish service, which is a good thing too, but sometimes it divides the congregation. So then
into two groups.
Yeah,
right?
Into two different groups, and they're not, you know, you have the English speaking part of the congregation, you have the Spanish part, but this way we can be united in unity just as God calls us to be, and we can all be together, worshiping together at the same time.
Amen. Amen.
We also wanna encourage everybody, if you can like this, share this, subscribe.
Amen.
And even now, you know, we have it on YouTube and Facebook. We've been having, but now we have it in more platforms now.
Yeah, we are doing the podcast audio.
The audio.
In different platforms. I think, if I'm not mistaken, you can find us.
Spotify. With the
Profound Truth in Spotify, Samsung, Amazon. Pandora. You can find us in iHeart Radio,
Pandora.
Pandora.
There's a couple other ones that I honestly never heard.
We're trying to figure out with the Apple's one.
To eventually get it on Apple Podcasts.
And, but there is no excuse. We're going anywhere. So. Plus, also, we want also to share that we have a Spark Hope, which is our English daily devotional that we can share with you. It's only between 5 minutes, 3 minutes. A daily devotional from Monday to Friday, and we encourage you to when you're driving back to your job, you can start your day with this daily devotional that I think it will bring blessing to you.
Amen. And then also Spanish, we have a Spanish one too.
Also, and we're gonna start the Profound Truth in Spanish the next Sunday. It will be from Sunday, every Sunday at 6. Yeah, 6 Central Standard Time, but it's going to be at 7 in the North, I believe, time. And we have a special guest that soon we're going to be invited also to the English speaking because they are bilingual too. Yeah. My brother, Isaac, and his beautiful wife, Margie, however you want to pronounce in English or Spanish. But there are beautiful people that are working for the Lord in Pennsylvania area. And of course, we're going to be joining strains, joining our strains to continue bringing a beautiful, beautiful message in Spanish. And also we have Spark of Hope in Spanish, which is Una Esperanza, Una Chispa de Esperanza. A spark of hope, your daily devotional as well.
Amen. God's opening doors and allowing us to do these things, and we're just thankful and blessed to be able to share it with y'all. We just want to let y'all know we're moving out to different platforms. We're just trying to spread the gospel and get the word, bring people that hope and that peace that only we could find through our Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. See you next on next episode.